Lesson number 7, the God-man. In our lesson this week, we are going to emphasize the role of divinity played through Jesus Christ, through Jesus of Nazareth, through the body that he had elected to have as his own body for the years he spent on earth. Our memory gem: in the beginning was the Word. The Word is the articulated statement of the divine mind. The Word was with God. There is nothing new, there is nothing impromptu. It is eternal. The Word was God. The mind of God articulated verbally in the Word, or legibly in the Word, is the actuality of the will of God. When I say cat, I am describing something. I can imagine, if I may give my understanding, that when God says cat, a cat comes into being. When I say cat, I have a very fragmentary knowledge of the animal. When God says cat, he knows every detail of its muscular, nervous, vascular, every other system of its anatomy. He knows. And so the Word that is the communicative revelation of God is also the dynamic power of God to make that revelation a reality. And so we read that by the Word of the Lord the heavens were of old. I try to understand this in my fumbling way by various illustrations. For example, I have just made a piano stool for a grand piano, big enough so that duetists could sit on one stool. Before I made that piano stool, I had it very clearly, vividly in mind. I did check its height from an existing piano stool, and its length and width I made proportionate. It took hours of tedious work. I had to select the lumber from a lumber yard. I had to dimension the lumber, joint it, and then assemble the stool. I still have to finish sand it and get it finished, upholstered. It's a long process with me. I see the stool, it's exactly the way I saw it, but it takes me a long time to make it. I imagine that when the Father, Son, and Spirit decided, and the Father said, or the Son said, he was the agent of creation, frog, horse, lion, these creatures stood up before him complete. Now this Word, this revelation, this articulated expression of the divine thought and purpose and will, that in the beginning had created and made, now came to reveal, through flesh, pitched his tent among us. The coming down of God, the Creator and Revealer, is what we are going to consider this week. Part number 1, feeding thousands. He clothed the earth with the grasses, from the smallest grass to the huge bamboo. And you can see grasses of various kinds producing seeds: wheat, oats, barley, rye, rice, grass. And through the grass that he clothed this planet with, he fed all the creatures that he had made. Our lesson gives us some illustrations. For example, at the wedding feast, already adverted to in previous lessons, they had no wine. Well, he was a true vine. He made it. He made the vine, and every summer, the vines of all the world take water and transform them into wine. And at a word, Jesus Christ, the true vine, did that in Cana. He fed the multitudes with bread and fish. On the harvest fields around this planet, the earth takes the soil elements, and the seed makes the wheat for the bread. The fish multiply. And so with the bread and the fish, he fed the multitude. He had power. But when it came to feeding himself, he was not prepared to change the stone into bread, because his time had not yet come, and the Father had not thus specified. So the power of God through Christ to accomplish his will is demonstrated by his supplying the wants, the bread and the wine and the fish and the food, clothing the earth. What he says he's going to do, that he does, and does immediately. Part number two, stilling the storm. He provides protection. He needed to cross from point A to point B across the Sea of Galilee. Satan knew that he was there, and Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, and he produced a storm, typhoon, tornado. I don't know what it was. Some raging tempest that even the seasoned fishermen on the Lake of Galilee feared for their lives. What did Jesus do? Peace. Be still. Now, before he said that, he had demonstrated another characteristic of deity and what a man should be. If there were a storm, and he was doing his Father's bidding, and he was on a little boat in the midst of the Lake of Galilee, why did he need to worry? When his hour came, his life would end. Now, I don't want to underline fatalism, but I do want to underline trust. There was a communication, not a fate, between Jesus and his Father. His road was mapped out for him to take by his Father. And he was ready to journey along the road at the bidding of his Father. And if he happened to meet a mountain that he needed to climb, or a swollen river that he needed to cross, or a raging sea that he needed to navigate, why did he need to worry? And so, calmly, he was fast asleep while his navigator friends were desperately trying to prevent the ship from sinking. So trust and conscious power, because of his communication with his Father, are clearly revealed in this story. And when he was through, he said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" On another occasion, he allowed this lesson to bear fruit. His disciples were going across the sea, and Jesus was not in the boat. Again, the adversary sought to drown this nucleus church, and Christ came walking upon the water while they were toiling in the sea. His steps took him above the waves. He could step from one little hillock, one little white cap, to the other, calmly, placidly, going on his Father's way. And the disciples thought he was a ghost, and cried out. And Jesus Christ said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And immediately Peter said to him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee." And Jesus said, "Come." And for a few shaky footsteps, Peter walked on the sea, and then sank, because he was not looking unto Jesus. Now, he did more than anyone else in the boat did. We say he doubted and he sank, but the others didn't even try. And this picture of Peter walking upon the sea evokes in my mind the picture of the redeemed standing upon a sea. But the sea for them is as the sea was for Christ, a solid pathway. And so John sees it as a sea of glass. The 144,000 sing upon it to sing, stand upon it to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. That which should have drowned now becomes a pathway. God makes the deep a bridge to paradise. And so as we think of Jesus as God in human flesh, we see him providing protection in the storm and a safe pathway to the harbor across the raging sea. The seas, peoples, raging, storms, conflicts, trials. If Jesus is with us in the boat, it doesn't matter if he's apparently asleep. He's trying to tell us something. Trust, ye of little faith. And when the time comes, in answer to our prayers, he will say to the turbulence in our life, peace be still. And if we are courageous, he might even say in answer to our invitation, let me walk upon this. Come. And if we are going to succeed, we must keep our eyes upon Jesus until we stand with the 144,000 on another sea. Part number 3. As the master teacher, he provided all the information and wisdom that we need. He himself increased in wisdom of knowledge, and he supplied mankind in his teaching all that we need to. And so let us take his scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, read them until we become familiar with them, repeat them until our thinking is saturated by them, and continually let us pray, Lord, make these ideals clear to my mind. Another way he revealed himself was by his transfiguration. Moses, representing the resurrected, Elijah, representing the translated, the disciples, representing the sleepy, dull multitude, Christ himself, surrounded by the glory of the angels, presented a microcosm of life. The assurance that the faithful, living and dead, will be with Christ, and the appeal that we on earth should look to him in order to be with him. Part number 5. He provided the reality and power through the resurrection and ascension. We can be born again. We can pass from death to life. He himself took human life to the Father. And that humanity is unscathed in the presence of God. This truth he would convey to us. He would wish us to believe that he can give us the resurrection and the life and take us to be with him. So as we think of this lesson and seek to focus on its essential thought, we see that God was in man, supplying finite, frail, lost, fearful man with whatever provision he needed at the right time, waiting to be requested, ready to bid angels step in to do for man what man couldn't do for himself.